So two videos that Sir Charles has given us, you'll find that there at coasttocoastam.com as well. Sir Charles Schultz worked at Martin Marietta Aerospace for 10 years on weapon systems and computer-based automated test equipment. He wrote the nuclear EMP test software for the Pershing II missile system, worked on Patriot and Copperhead tank killer and advanced attack helicopter systems as well. Charles has performed research under grant on nuclear fusion, was knighted and received a long-term grant for his present research in robotics and artificial intelligence as well. Lots to talk with him about today, including alternative energy. But first, we'll get his reaction to this incredible picture. Sir Charles, how are you?
I'm doing very well, George. Thanks for having me back on the show.
My pleasure indeed. Man, you're doing some great work these days, my friend.
Well, we're staying incredibly busy. We're hoping to make a difference.
Good. Did you have a chance to analyze or look at this Spirit rover photograph we've got up there on the website?
Yes, I did. And when I first saw it, I thought, this is astounding. And so I, with the help of a couple of friends, located the original images. And they're from, actually from fairly recent, Sol 1637. And when we were able to get the original images, I put a stereo view together so we could see if there was anything that would give us any clues about it. And so the first thing I noticed right away was the desert rock glaze
right
all over many of the rocks. And that indicates that something's been there for quite a while, hasn't moved. And the other thing is the scale of it can be told in part by the thickness of those layers, those sedimentary rocks. It's actually very small. Once we got the stereo image together, however, and you could really get a look at it, the illusion fell apart.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's actually a very thin wafer of rock. It's probably only about a centimeter thick. And there are a number of different little wafers of rocks hanging over the edge there. And so when you see it in stereo, all of a sudden it doesn't look anything like a person anymore. It looks like a postcard.
It sure looks like a little tiny Martian without that, doesn't it?
Well, it's an amazing thing. Our brains are wired to see patterns, and when we see something like that, we jump on it right away. And it's an amazing likeness. That's just like the old man on the mountain.
But
it is, in fact, simply a rock.
All right. But you have found some incredible-looking things on Mars.
Oh, amazing things. And, you know, I've spent pretty close to 4 years now doing the analysis on the rover images from the moment they came back. And we found just astounding things. Very, very interesting things that look very much like fossils, and some of them I'm certain are fossils. Evidence that Mars was, in fact, an ocean-covered planet, and everything we've found so far supports that. But it's just astounding, some of the things you see that indicate the presence and action of water. And, you know, when you hear the official position on it is very, very tame, very laid back, as if they don't wish to commit. There's no doubt in my mind and in many other people's minds that Mars was once a water world and there are fossils present. And, of course, on my site I maintain a large gallery of those fossil images and water images as well.
Well, Sir Charles, it looks like, and because I've been looking at your images since you've been on the program here over the last few years, I've been looking at these images and it looks like Mars is teeming with these fossils everywhere.
Well, you know, somebody once stated on one of the blogs that it's impossible to find an area that is that thick with fossils, and I beg to differ. If you walk on limestone or marble, you are literally walking with millions of fossils under feet. So it doesn't surprise me in the least. But there's one interesting thing that concentrates what you see on the ground, and it's called frost heath. All the spirules are on top of the soil rather than buried in the ground, and so they appear to be much richer, many more of them than there are. And the reason is water in the soil freezes, and the ice crystals force the spirals to the top. And so the fact that they're all on the surface and none underneath the soil when they dig a trench is a very good indicator that there is water in the soil, because that's the only process we know of that will do that.
Good point. Good point. Are you amazed that the rover Spirit and Opportunity continue to do what they do?
I'll tell you. The engineers on those machines were just amazing. They continue to function very well 4 years into the mission. It is really astounding.
Now, we've got another probe on the way there that we'll start analyzing once it lands, hopefully, the possibility of some kind of life on that planet. Do you think they should have done this with the rovers?
Well, yes. You know, there are constraints in how much weight you can have on a spacecraft, because it takes an incredible amount of fuel just to deliver 1 kilogram of anything to Mars. So there are great constraints on what they could put on it. What amazes me is that nowhere on the rovers are there any water detectors, nothing for a liquid or vapor or anything, and yet it's this follow-the-water mission. There are no sensors for water. that, to me, was the first thing that really stood out in my mind. You know, they're wonderful, amazing pieces of hardware, but there are some serious omissions in what they should be looking for and what they can sense.
Is it possible that there still could be some kind of small organisms buried beneath the sands of Mars in some of the permafrost?
Well, I don't doubt that at all. You know, they found salt crystals on Earth 250 million years old with bacteria in them that have been recovered and revived. So, you know, on Mars, you look at Mars and you look at the deserts where brine shrimp are found, and they come out only when it's wet, and they reproduce rapidly, and then they dry up again, sometimes for years. And it would not surprise me in the least to find many organisms still in hibernation on the surface right now.
Billions of years ago, Sir Charles, what do you think Mars looked like?
Well, you know, a couple of billion years ago, it would have looked very much like it does now, but it would have been covered with oceans, and the atmosphere would have been pretty much about one atmosphere of pressure like we have here on the Earth. But because Mars' gravity is so weak, it's lost that atmosphere over the ages. So it would have probably been very much like the primitive seas on Earth, with not much more than microorganisms if it was a couple of billion years.
Might it have had vegetation?
Nothing more complex that far back than simple algae or single-celled organisms. That's about as big as it gets.
So wouldn't have trees and bushes and things like that?
No, not that far back. You see, all of the complex life we see really emerged within the last 500 million years.
Okay, so let's say 500 million years ago on Mars, would they have had that, or was it obliterated by that time?
Well, I expect that it was there, and that it just took a very long time for the environment to change. And, you know, we've been often told that Mars dried up 3 billion years ago, but that's absolutely wrong, and we know that because they found a sea of glaciers on the equator that's only 5 million years old. Well, for a sea of glaciers to form, you had to have a sea of water to freeze.
Well, that's a good point.